When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by retired Colonel Alex Gann of the he was a fighter pilot in the Israeli Air Force, now living in a small village in northern Israel. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening.
Colonel, first, let me just say God bless and happy holidays to you guys. I hope things are improving somewhat. I'm not sure. That's why we have you on today, to try to find out exactly what's happening there.
Well, the picture, the great picture looks like this. In the north, it's quiet. In the Lebanese front, the ceasefire is holding on, although Hezbollah are trying here and there, you know, to smuggle some weapons or something, but it's being stopped, so it's sticking. And we're starting to build our villages back on our side. We had some villages which suffered a lot. Some villages even had about 75% of the houses destroyed. So we have to do a lot of building and constructing over there. On the Syrian border, what happened in the last week was a huge surprise for everybody. Actually, the regime collapsed. And the army of Syria actually disappeared. And what we did, as you know, we took the advantage, and actually we bombed a great deal of the strategic weapons of the Syrian Army and Air Force. Actually, Syria had, the most dense air defense system of missiles in the world, and it's gone now. And so it's kind of quiet over there. Our forces moved a little bit into it's called the separation zone between our border and the Syrian border, and trying to clear out all the terrorist depots over there, the Syrian army, what they left. But it's on a low fire. We have some missiles coming in still from Yemen. These guys are really unbelievable. And we had one come in, a ballistic missile yesterday, which actually hit a school and destroyed it. We were very lucky because it was at 2 a.m., so no one was there, but the school was really blasted into smithereens. And so we went and attacked Yemen again, but they're kind of very extreme religious, and the people, you know, and they really don't care. The country is so poor anyhow. So if they had electricity, maybe 8 hours a day. So now they have it maybe 1 hour. So I don't think the regime really cares about it. But we'll see what will happen over there. And Gaza is, you know, still smithering until the hostage deal will go through, and really, really hope it will happen. I think the fact that Trump is going into the White House, and he declared that if the deal will not be done before he goes in, all hell will break out. It had some impact on the side, and it put some fire under the discussions. But we still hope it will happen as soon as possible, because really these people have been suffering over there, I think. A great deal of them are not with us anymore. They're dead, but we still do not know. So the country is slowly, the war is calming down. And now we have our internal problems with the government. We have a government which is really performing very poorly, and we will have to get rid of it, but it takes time. So we have a front in the north, in the east, in the south, in the far south, in the west, and inside. So it's interesting over here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
How close are you to the Golan Heights and what's going on there? Obviously, that's always been a friction point with Syria funding and bringing in arms into Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. What's actually happening there? And because of the Syrian government, the fall in the short term, has that created more stability for y'all in the north?
I live about 20 miles with a bridge line from the Golan Heights. It takes about an hour to get there. What's happening over there is because the Syrian army has literally disappeared, and they left their depots and camps and their equipment. And we don't know what the rebels will do. The rebels, they are not one group. There are dozens of groups. Some are very jihadistic, very religious, Islamic group. Some of them want to see democracy. Some of them are Druze. Some of them are Kurds. And they have each other by the throat. So it's quiet on our side, and we are waiting to see what will develop over there. We don't trust Erdogan. Erdogan is Turkey's president, who actually he stirred things up, and he supported the rebels. And his goal is to get rid of the Kurds in eastern Turkey, which he sees them as a threat to Turkey. So he's trying to do that through the rebels in Syria. So it's very tense. I know the U.S. has sent troops to northern Kurdistan and northern part of Syria, to deter or to protect the Kurds over there in the northeastern part of Syria. But it's very unstable, and it can the tipping point it can move us here or there in a blink, in no time. So we're ready.
Is there interest on the part of Israel to take control of the Golan Heights?
Well, first of all, we have control of the Golan Heights.
But I thought it was kind of I thought it was contested for a period of time in certain parts of it.
No.
You would know better.
The Golan Heights. I would say the great deal of them, which were taken by Israel in after the 67 war.
Right.
The population there was very small in the Golan Heights, and eventually it was declared as a part of Israel. And Trump and his previous administration, they accepted that. And we feel this will be part of Israel forever. Mm-hmm. The Golan, in the northern Golan, there is a mountain which is called Hermon, and it has two high peaks, which actually are overlooking Israel, Lebanon, and Syria. So on one peak, the Israeli forces are, and now when the Syrians have left, so our troops went into the other peak. It's called the Syrian Hermon part. So we eventually are actually trying to clear the borderline from ammunition, from mines, from the remains of the Syrian army. And we built a defense line over there with a huge fence and the trenches and whatever, because we don't know what will happen with the rebels. The rebels, they speak, and their leader tries to put a moderate face on, but he is wanted by the United States with a $10 million reward. So we don't know what will happen with him. He's not a big, he's not a priest. He's someone which you can expect the surprises, but he says that Syria has enough of wars and they want a peace and quiet. So we will be more than happy to have peace and quiet with them, but we'll see. The Iranians have been moving out their troops from Syria, so it's the tension between Israel and the Iranian forces over there is lower. The flames are lowering, and the temperature is going down a little bit on that front.
Well, that would be a positive. That would be a very positive thing, right? If they turn their back on the Iranians, and in northern Syria, I know the Russians, through Aleppo and all that area, provided a lot of stability there with the presence of their military, and they've pulled out as well, right?
The Russians. What interests the Russians was they have a port in the Tartus, which is northern Syria, for their battleships, and they have one airfield, which they have aircraft over there, which is close by. They actually are concentrated in a very, very small area. They don't care too much about the Syrians. They care about their position over there, that they can hold this position. Because the Russians, they have, and the West, Russia is huge, but on the west side, the water access in the north freezes in the winter, and the other access is on the Black Sea, which is controlled by NATO and Turkey. So the Russians always were looking for a harbor, which will be, they call it a warm water harbor. So they have it in Syria, and now they're talking to the rebels because they want to maintain this this asset. But we'll see what will happen with them. The fact that the Iranians are moving out, this is the most important thing. The rebels hate the Iranians and the Hezbollah because they were actually the ones who were oppressing them all the time and murdering, I would say, hundreds of thousands of the people in northern Syria. So Hezbollah is now actually cut off of all its supply lines, and they're still in Lebanon. It is to see what the Lebanese army will do, if they will really fulfill their part in this peace ceasefire agreement or not. But when the Iranians are out, it's good news.
Colonel, would you say that this is an opportunity for Lebanon like no other in modern times to rid themselves of Hezbollah?
It's unbelievable. Yes, it's an unbelievable opportunity to them. We hear it because we see their news and their media, and many people say it, that they thank Israel for taking out most of Hezbollah, because Hezbollah was controlling Lebanon with an iron fist, and actually they were controlling also the government and controlling everything. So the Lebanese are more than happy that we did what we did to Hezbollah. I mean, when you say Lebanon, Lebanon is divided basically into three almost equal parts. It's the Christians are about a third. They are in the north. The Shiites, which are the Hezbollah, which are more in the south, and the Sunnis, which are spread all over, they're also about a third. And what happened was the Shiites in the south, they controlled most of Lebanon by force. So now the others are happy, and we'll see what will happen.
And they were the predominant force in the Lebanese government as well, right?
Yes, yes. They were not the majority, but whenever they had a problem, like they murdered with the Syrians the Lebanese president because he wasn't to their likes. And they controlled, you know, they were intimidating everybody who was against them. But now the Lebanese are getting back at them. You know, we see sometimes when the Shiites were fleeing from the south-north, they were not accepted by the local population. They were actually driven away. No one wanted them in their area. So we'll see. But now they want to go back south, the Shiites. Most of the Shiites' villages in the south, which were close to our border, are, I would say, totally wrecked. You cannot live in them. You have to build them from the beginning because under each one of these villages was a fort of Hezbollah with missiles. You know, people had in their basement a ballistic missile, and the other family would have in a part of their living room. They would have an anti-ship missile, and you know, everybody was hosting the Hezbollah. And now they will have to build it from the beginning. We'll see what will happen.
We only have about a minute. Let me ask this last question. Is there a sense of hope that we can do a hostage transfer before Hanukkah in this holiday season?
Well, there is a hope. I would say there's a big hope. And on one hand, you know, I pity the families because every time someone raises their hopes and then they crash back to the ground. But there is a hope because people are talking less. And we see the people are going back and forth. And we'll see what will happen. We know that Hamas is really under huge stress because, you know, Hezbollah is gone and Syria is gone. And they have no real support. And actually, the hostages are their last leverage.
Right.
So they're trying still to play it hard to get. It will not be simple. They still do not reveal how many of them are alive and how many are dead. And I'm sure they don't have even everybody, because some of the hostages were in other hands of the other groups. So we still have a very painful and difficult process ahead of us. But hopefully it will start. Personally, I would like it to see happen in one big deal. You know, everybody returns at once.
Get it over. But, absolutely.
Yeah, get it over. But I'm afraid it will not work that way.
Well, Colonel, we got to get to a break. We got to get to a break. I apologize. Please stay safe.
No, don't apologize.
And happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you all.
I think about you guys often.
Yeah. And happy Christmas and happy New Year to all of you over there. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. That was Colonel Alex Gann, retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force, living in a small village in northern Israel. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.